Welcome to the weekly edition of Beyond the Title, where we get to know the person behind the strategy, the story, and yes, the brand. Joining us every week are senior professionals across the globe. So amazing that we just have to know who they are.
Joining us today, celebrating SIL International Girls Month, is Rebecca Roth from NASA. Hey, Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm well. I'm waking up. It's pretty early here on the East Coast in the U.S., but I'm happy to be with you guys.
For those of you who are not tuning into us live, it is 4 a.m. for Rebecca. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. To start off, you know, we were using this amazing picture of you with your colleagues. Can you tell us a bit more about that picture?
Yeah, so there's a for folks who so I work at NASA, the Goddard Space Flight Center, and I work in communications, and a lot of what I do is social media. And one of the major awards for social media these days is called the Shorty Award, and I think it started Shorty because of Twitter, but anyway, our team, our social media team won in the government category a number of years ago. And so we were pretty proud of the fact of beating out the, the finalists were ourselves and the Prime Minister of the UK and Senator Cory Booker. So, and they all had millions of followers and we were much smaller. So we're pretty proud of that fact.
Awesomeness. I do know, and I was watching Senator Cory Booker's run up to the presidential candidate seat. So, wow, congratulations on winning the Shorty. For those of you who do not know the Shorty, it is the Oscars of Social Media Awards. And of course, you know, congratulations to the NASA team for winning the award. So, because you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, what is the reason you jump out of bed each morning? What's your ikigai?
Well, I would say, I have two kids, and so that's, you know, really important to me as a mom to, like a lot of working parents, working moms, trying to find a balance between, getting to work on time, but really for me, that we have breakfast together, that I get up and spend quality time with my kids, is really important to me. And so it's really, you know, getting up early enough that I can have a cup of coffee, which I haven't yet today. And so I don't know how smoothly this is going to go, but really, you know, taking some time in the morning to wake up slowly and think about my day, but really like spending some time with the kids before, you know, they're off to school. I mean, now school's at home because of COVID, but it's still pretty much the same schedule. And of course, you know, my work, I love what I do. And so,
Let me ask you one thing a bit more about the kids, because, you know, the last 6 months has taught me one thing, that my kids are interested in what I do, and they always want to know the stuff that I'm, you know, the events that we put up, you know, with Uplift. Thank you so much for joining us for Uplift event, and it's great to hear from you, post the event. So with what you do right now, you're the social media strategist for NASA Goddard. Do the kids get to see a lot more of what you do, how you do it, putting posts together? You just had a gallery come out of the work that you and your team does.
Yeah, they're still kind of young, 10 and 13. And so it was funny, I just took my daughter out to do, even though it's they're not actually back at school, but she wanted to get some new clothes. And, now it's really popular to see in the stores, you know, NASA t-shirts. And I was kind of happy that she wanted to get a hoodie that said NASA on it. And my son, and then he found a shirt with NASA on it. And so, and I sometimes, you know, if we're making a quick video or something and I make filters for like Instagram and things like that. Yep. I'm always having in there a lot of work and you have to test them out. I'm like, guys, come in here and try this, or I'll send it to them on their phones. And I'm like, try it out. And so, so they, they're familiar with the work that I do. And I try and like you said, I just gave a talk about this photo exhibit that's opening in a gallery, and I don't think my daughter tuned into the talk, but that's okay. I feel like they're the older they get, the more they appreciate and understand the work that I do.
Awesomeness. Yeah. If life were a movie, right, what character would you play? For me, I'd always love to play Batman, but you know, I'm a superhero kind of fan, slightly nerdish. What about you? What character would you say best represents you?
Yeah, you know, you just said at the end that best represents you. It's a really hard question for some reason, like for me to answer. Like I used to be really into movies, and nowadays I don't watch as many. When I saw the question and when I was thinking about it, I wasn't thinking about it in a way that, you know, what would I like to live out my life? Like, could I be a superhero or something? But I was thinking more along the lines of what, you know, whose shoes would I like to walk in, or whose life would I like to, you know, sort of experience? And this seems like a strange answer, but Anne Frank.
Wow. Strong woman character. Yes.
Yeah. And I remember as being a young child, learning about Anne Frank, and I was, you know, and I still sort of carry it with me that there's, I probably don't have the quote exactly right, but you know, I think she has a famous quote about saying, in the end, I believe all people are good. And that has always, like, I don't know, I learned that and learned her story so young, and somehow it connected to me and made a difference for me that I hold that truth and try and remember that in difficult times. And you know, there's been a lot going on in the world. I mean, there always is, but for us in the US and, you know, what we're dealing with at home, but globally, you know, there's a lot that can get you down, and, you know, keeping something like that in mind, sort of helps me, see the good.
See, keeping Anne Frank in mind now, if we were able to turn back time, right, what would you have done differently at your first job? What would you have, you know, done differently as you were progressing in your career as well?
Well, I remember, I mean, I had, you know, jobs as a teenager that probably weren't that important to me. It was more about, you know, like having some spending money to buy a new record or go to movies with my friends. My first, when I first graduated college, I moved to Washington, D.C., and I worked for a photography studio where they did portraits and things. And that wasn't always, I was just sort of like, you know, was happy to get a job. So that wasn't like that memorable of an experience. I mean, but after that, my first, you know, real professional job was working as a photojournalist for a community newspaper. So I, you know, was in the DC area, but, you know, I was out shooting high school football games and, you know, local community meetings, and boy, they ran me around all over the place.
Would you have changed anything? Is another question I would say, because if I look back at my own professional career, I think I take everything, negative or good. I take it all towards, yes, it helped me hone who I am, what I am, even my initial sales job. So in your case, would you have changed anything?
Yeah, no. I mean, I when I look at my career, the different positions that I've had, working as a photographer and a photo editor and working within the industry, it all sort of has built upon each other. I mean, there was never a time in my career where I'm like, I want to work at NASA, or I want to be, you know, I wanted to be a photojournalist, a photographer, and things evolved. And so, you know, I learned new things and learned new skills. And I consider myself very fortunate. And but also, I think one of the reasons why I've had a career that I've had a lot of satisfaction from is because I've always just really followed my heart. And I've always just really tried to take jobs that were meaningful to me and that were an expression of who I was, and that, you know, the work that I was doing and somehow made a difference for people. And, you know, that's not always possible, but so yeah, I think I've been
Makes sense. No, and now that you know you've been in the industry for so long, you've actually grown both as a professional, as a person, but you're also leading teams. So do you kind of inspire the same kind of ideas and ideologies to your teams? Do you allow them to, what's the biggest leadership challenge that you go through right now?
Well, I'm actually one of the team members on the social media team at NASA. So I don't, you know, it's not my job to lead it. But it's important. It's kind of interesting, you know, because the landscape of social media has changed so much over the years. I mean, and it's constantly changing. And the thing that I've learned is that, you know, you can come up with an idea and think it's a really good one, or you can sit across the table from someone and be like, that's not going to work, you know, and feel pretty certain about it, and then you're wrong. And so, like, for me, it's, you know, in the moment, you know, each moment when you're collaborating and talking with people and sharing ideas and brainstorming, is that while, you know, you think because you've been doing this for 11 years and you've been successful, you're not always right. And so to really try your best to keep an open mind and to try new things, and be grateful when you're wrong, but they work, and, you know, and so, yeah.
No, makes perfect sense. I share your sentiment. I think I've been in the events industry for a very, very long time. And sometimes I think, you know, If I were to run an event like an event production house, you know, those events take 3 to 6 months worth of production time, whereas we put one of the biggest events of the year together in a little less than 6 weeks. And I was certain in my mind, you know, how the hell are we going to make it work? But no, the team literally pulled everything in. They did an amazing job, and I was all the more, you know, richer for the experience. But I completely get you on that. So, because we spoke a little bit about your past, and of course, there are so many challenges that we're going through right now, but what are your hopes for the future, both professional or personal?
You know, I think, I guess this falls in between professional and personal. When I look at the impact that social media has had, when I look at the good and the bad that, you know, has come with it, I think it's almost like, you know, it's been a, I guess this is such a cliche, but a paradigm shift, really, of how we experience life, of how we share information, and how we're instantly connected around the globe. And so my hope is, I mean, it's, you know, that in the end, you know, it's easy to go on to some platforms online and just see people tearing each other down. But on the same platform, it's used to spread important information and to educate people and to inform people about important things. And so, you know, my hope is that I don't advocate, you know, censorship and, you know, making something, you know, just that these social sites where people are spending so much information can trend towards more positive messaging.
Awesomeness. Awesomeness. Again, positive message is always good. Please do share the love to all those lovely people who are saying hi, good morning to you, Rebecca. You know, I'm seeing some interesting chats from all the way from Korea, Vietnam to Russia joining in today. Question for you. this is going to be a fun one. My son loves everything about space. I kind of share that enthusiasm with him. But he's gone one or maybe 10 steps ahead of me, and he starts reading up about the number of gadgets that everybody uses, right? And at some point, my brain just kind of blocks him out going, oh my God, no, this is too much. It's literally like a scientist standing right next to me and talking to me about something without making it social media friendly or making it more exciting. So do you have such moments with NASA? Because you are, you know, managing this social media strategy for Goddard, and a lot of your content that comes out is about you know, space, about the science behind it, about how beautiful it is to look at, let's say, a far off galaxy or a far off star. But do you have those weird moments where you're going, how can I make such a boring thing interesting?
Oh well, that's every day. I mean, that's I mean, like, sometimes it's not always like, you know, this is boring. So that's maybe an overstatement, but, you know, you have to, some stories you have to read and reread and then like sort of like comb through with a fine tooth comb and find like that one sentence. And like, for me, it's always been about, making the science, making it connect. Like, what, how can I communicate this in a tweet, right? Or in a short post that somehow makes it relatable? Like, why should I care about this? Why should someone take 30 seconds out of their day to read this thing that I have to say? And so a lot of times it's working closely with the science writers who write these stories and, or with the scientists directly and say, you know, because they write it a certain way that's not for social media. We want it, like I said, we want to make it sort of friendly and connectable. And so, you know, it's a sort of some back and forth. Can I say it this way? And they're like, no, that totally changes everything. You know, I'm just taking one or two words out. And so it was, you know, over the years, interesting to sort of learn, you know, the wordsmithing and how important it is, because, you know, not only do we want to be interesting and relatable, but we have to be right. And so it takes you know, people, it can take a really long time to write a post because of, you know, those hurdles.
Wow. I'm taking a leaf off your book for our social media posts, on everything MarTech and everything e-commerce and retail. So that's going to be a fun thing. What was your proudest moment in life? I can tell you one of mine. I had two amazingly proud moments in my life. One, when I saw, you know, my firstborn son, you know, and held him for the first time. I was like, oh my God, now I'm a father, I'm a parent, I've got responsibilities. The same thing again kicked in when I had my second son. But another thing was when we started this particular channel, BTT, Beyond the Title, on YouTube. We wanted to make this a channel where people were able to share, you know, everything about themselves, who they were, what drove them. And we are keeping to that mission with Beyond the Title. But, you know, what about you?
Well, you know, there are times when you know, you work hard to be a good parent. I think for any parent, you have lots of moments where you're just really proud of your kids when you see them stand up and speak out for injustice or you know, like, you know, this happened at school and that's not right. And so, you know, they're not just looking at TikTok, they're paying attention to things. And so, you know, those things happen and that makes me proud. And you know, I think, so, you know, I'm doing this interview with you now because you know, just over the years, just from the work that I've done, people, there's not a lot of photo editors at NASA, and people find my work interesting. And so I've been interviewed a number of times, and people invite me to conferences to come talk about my work. And I would say that, you know, anytime I take the stage, I mean, I've been to, you know, Australia and England and, you know, Germany and, you know, so like people, you know, Georgia. And I think anytime I take the stage to represent NASA, it's a pretty proud moment for myself. But as someone who, you know, who's a photographer and an artist working at NASA, to sort of, you know, look around the room and pretty much always know you're not the rocket scientist in the room, but to own, you know, your worth and to own like who you are, and, you know, to own what you have to contribute, has been an important moment for me. And so, you know, I was, you know, a school student who, you know, was into some subjects, I wasn't a great student, but I had photography. And I was really lucky that I went to, I found photography in high school, and I excelled at it. And that's, you know, how I got into to my profession. And so, you know, coming from a student who didn't get straight A's in all the sciences and math, but I'm proud of the work that I do. I'm proud of the hard work that I've put in, and that, you know, when you're reaching, you know, our work reaches like millions of people over all of our channels. And what I try and do is teach somebody something new every day, or, you know, inspire them in some way. And so, you know, like I said, anytime I take the stage to talk about what I do, or when I see a comment, you know, on social media for people thanking us for what we shared, or when we, you know, have taught somebody something new, like that, like every time it sort of makes me happy and makes me proud of the small difference that I've been able to make.
Awesomeness. Wow, Rebecca, what a lovely note to leave us with. For everyone watching out there, again, I was a dunce when I was in school. There were only certain subjects I actually did love to do. And the same thing goes for all the kids watching this video right now. You know, it doesn't matter if you are great at every single subject in school, as long as you're putting your hardest in there, as long as you're, you know, standing up for the social values as well as for values your parents are instilling you with, I think we all will have a brighter future and a much better place to live in. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us today.